One Pixel Jump for October 20th, 2010. Hey, you want to go work for Studio Bones?
No, I want to go work for Studio Viz Media.
I don't think that's a studio. I think that's a media distributor.
It's still a thing.
Yeah. Why do you want to go work for them?
Because I don't know what Bones has done, and Viz Media has made good things.
Well, they've distributed good things. I don't know if they've made any good things.
They made a they made a distributing company. I think that counts.
Yeah, and that's kind of nice. Now, Bones is the studio that did Eureka 7, which
I didn't like.
I tried to watch once, but I got you did like
I
that?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I tried to watch it once, but I eventually, I watched it in its subtitled format, and eventually I just started reading things on the internet, so it's like, well, this is a subtitled show, but I don't need to pay that much attention to it. And around episode 13, I think I stopped watching it. It was, at that point, it was background noise anyway. The only other thing that I know that they've done was Soul Eater, and while I liked the first episode of Soul Eater, not really for its structure or substance, but the first fight scene was pretty cool. It never really hit with me. To me, it was just another shonen jump-like show. I'm sure that people who are fans of it say that it's deeper, and I think that it was a little bit more than that, but it never really went anywhere for me. Except the episode where they take the exam and one of the characters turns her exam into a giraffe.
Why did you make a giraffe? Why didn't you make a dolphin?
Because she wasn't Lena or Nene, and space dolphins wouldn't have saved her from the terrible secret of space.
Wrong. The correct answer is because she's not Detective Conan.
When in Detective Conan did anybody ever turn anything into a dolphin?
Movie 13.
I didn't watch movie 13.
Yeah, so you did. Know.
What did he turn into a dolphin?
He didn't turn into a dolphin. He made a dolphin.
No. What did he take to make
clay? Remember that's how I got the fingerprints?
No.
Do you even remember movie 13?
Is that the one where he takes out a helicopter?
Yes.
With a helmet? Yeah. Okay. I remember that part. Yeah, now I remember what you're talking about. It was the clay dolphin. I'm sorry, every memory I have of that movie is overpowered by taking out a helicopter with a bike helmet. I absolutely love totally absurd things, which is fitting, because guess what we're talking about?
What?
Get a Robo!
Whoa!
Specifically, Get a Robo Armageddon, or Shin Get a Robo 1998?
Yeah.
99?
97? 90XX.
Yeah, 1990X, the same year that Godzilla went into space to attack Mothra and Ghidorah over and over and over again in a chess game. But that's not the point. We're talking about Shin Getarobo, Getarobo Armageddon, Go Nagai's Getarobo Armageddon, as my DVD box set so clearly points out. That's probably why a lot of people are under the impression that Get a Robo is a Go Nagai property rather than
Go Nagai and
Ishikawa's work.
Yeah, both of them.
Because it's barely Go Nagai's work. Because it was Ken Ishikawa, and he made Get a Robo, and it was all good, and it was like three cars that transform into a giant robot. And then Go Nagai came by, maybe he was like walking by Ken Ishikawa's window trying to get the pie that he had left on the windowsill, and said, you know, maybe it would be better if instead of cars, they were jets. And Ken Ishikawa was like, it's brilliant! And so the Get a Robo that we know and love was born.
Out of jets.
Yeah, repeatedly.
I wonder if the reason he thought that they should be jets is because on the pie, there was a picture of a jet on there.
Cool.
Jet pie from the future. It's like, it's a delivery type of pie. The delivery is it flies at you into your mouth, but then you choke on it.
That's exactly what I was thinking of, too. We just need to make jet milk, and everything will be perfect.
Well, I'll be fine. I'll be fine from being killed in the eventual Armageddon caused by a nuclear explosion in Shin Getter Robo.
That's what I love about us talking about Getter Robo, is that we have so many things we could discuss, but I also hate it because while there are so many things we can discuss, there are only so many of them that are actually on the topic of the Getter Robo we happen to be talking about. Because I could talk all about the opening sequence of the original Getter Robo, where someone made a GIF where instead of going to the title, it just holds on a picture of Getter 1 and says, "Unpossible!"
Wait, was that the 1998 or 1999 song?
No, it was not Heat. It was the original one, which you actually can find sung by Hironobu Kageyama. And the guy who originally sang it, whose name I forget.
Isao Sasuke.
Nice. Didn't he also go on to form Jam Project?
No. No? Oh. Yes? No?
Yeah, I think he's one of the founding members.
No.
He's the one who left.
No, he's not. He's too old.
Well, he wouldn't have been too old back then.
He wouldn't have been too old 10 years ago?
No?
Yes?
All right, fine. Let's talk about Getter Robo. Getter Robo Armageddon is the story of three really crazy people piloting a robot that is equally psychotic-looking, Black Getter.
Black Getter.
Black Getter is my favorite robot across all media. There's no robot, rather super or real, giant or otherwise, can compare to the awesomeness that is Black Getter. Not even Shin Getter Robo, when it fuses with the Shin Dragon to do a giant shine spark to destroy a space vagina.
Wait, that's the end of it. I don't even remember that.
You don't remember the space? How could you?
I remember the space vagina. I don't remember how they destroyed it.
They don't destroy it so much as, after they defeat the black space aliens out in the two leader black space aliens, little Weasley guy and the black guy with a beard, after they destroy the Getter Sun that they turned Jupiter into, a giant vagina opens in the void of space, which I think is a wormhole, but it's a vagina, if you look at it. It's nothing you could confuse. And they do, they're like, this is the biggest threat the universe has ever faced. So they decide to put all of their energy to do Getter Robo's ultimate attack, the Shine Spark. They fly into it, and that's where they find Getter Valhalla. You know, the infinite recurring versions of Ryoma.
Hayato.
I guess, and Benkei. So, although I would, no, there couldn't be any Musashis there. If you're living the Getter Robo universe, please beg your parents not to name you Musashi, because you will die. It will usually be awesome, but you'll still be dead.
Yeah, your death will be epic, and you will defeat a bunch of dinosaurs in the process, but death.
You know, I'm actually not sure which of Musashi's sacrifices I prefer, the one from New Getter Robo or the one from the original series.
I don't know.
That one's actually pretty hard to call, because in the original series he didn't intend to do it, but that didn't mean it wasn't incredibly sweet when he did it.
If I recall correctly, what he does is he takes the ship with the micro-missile explosions, tries to fly up to the giant Dinosaur Empire fleet, flies down through his throat because the missile won't fire.
The ship is where they're having a party because the dinosaurs think they've finally taken out Getter Robo, and then Musashi flies in and blows the whole thing up.
Yeah, because he flies down the throat of the giant dinosaur tank. It flies into the core of the dinosaur.
He doesn't yell it. This is actually Ryoma's line. But don't you wish you kind of wish that you could hear him yelling as he's burning alive? Fuck dinosaurs!
I wish that when he flew into the generator, he yelled, "Get her explosion!"
Also good. But he wasn't piloting a Getter machine.
I know, that's what made it more awesome.
But Musashi's in New Getter Robo was also pretty good. He's fighting the dinosaurs on, I think, Manhattan, and he's piloting it by himself, and after they've cornered him, he reaches into the chest, pulls out the core, and crushes it so it forms a giant explosion and takes out all of Manhattan.
Getter self-destruct?
You could, if you must name the move, and this is a Super Robot show.
Everything is named. Getter Punch. Getter Punch.
That's what it would be named if Black Getter is doing it with its spike knuckles. Those things are so sweet.
And here's the best part about them. They grow longer.
Yeah, I know. They're already spikes. And then when he's going to punch you, he makes them bigger. And then there's the swords on his arms. And he also has the tomahawk. And Getter Beam. Love this show.
And the alligator eyes.
Yeah, I love how Black Getter looks equally as psychotic as Ryoma does. That's the best part of it. And he built it, so it's that way on purpose.
He didn't find the Getter Robo black and all of that. He found a Getter Robo on the moon after he traveled through time.
Because Getter Rays, the concentration of the pure essence of evolution, can cause you to travel through time. Although why it happened to Ryoma and not to Hayato, who I think was also there, yeah, it caused him to travel through time and to the moon.
I don't get the to the moon part.
I don't either. You would think it would be either or. You would think that either the explosion would push him to the moon, or it would push him through time, not both. And it's not like, because he's in the Getter One jet's cockpit when it happens, but when he wakes up on the moon, he's sitting in the cockpit of an old broken down Getter Robo. And then he rebuilds it and makes it Black Getter, and it's totally sweet.
It was dumped on the moon.
It has permanent Getter Wing out, which doesn't stop Ryoma from yelling Getter Wing at one point to no effect, but it was still pretty cool.
Hey, is my cape that allows me to fly out? It is? I'm still gonna yell it.
Yeah, I just feel like yelling. I'm Ryoma Nagare. I yell everything, at least in the dub. You need to explain this, because I follow my rule that Super Robot shows have to be watched in Japanese. Understand, I'm a dub person. I don't actually like to watch things with subtitles. I prefer to watch them in their dub format, but this is a Super Robot show. Other than two outstanding examples, I will always, always watch them in Japanese, because people in America, we do voice acting pretty well, I'd like to think, but we do not yell properly. You can't say Getter Beam. You have to say it in horribly mangled English. That's what makes it awesome.
Yeah, one of the exceptions is Yuri Lowenthal as Simon in Gurren Lagann. The other exception
is G Gundam.
Yes.
All of G Gundam. Because you can't... I've never watched G Gundam in its Japanese form, and I don't know if I really want to, but the Shining Finger, Burning Finger, and Super Asia speech, it's like ear porn. It's so awesome and so stupid that it's super awesome. And I know that was redundant, but I don't care. We're not even talking about G Gundam. We're talking about Getter Robo. We're getting sidetracked.
I don't care. They're both awesome. But to me, there's a third exception, which is Ryoma in Getter Robo Armageddon. Because despite being voiced by a 50-year-old man in the dub, he always sounds like he's yelling. When he is trying to talk to Ben K in a quiet voice, he still sounds like he's yelling.
Well, it wouldn't be Ryoma if he wasn't psychotic and yelling all the time.
And wearing clothes that make no sense. I love his scarf.
I love his sideburns. Looks like you could put an eye out with those things.
How do you know? That's why he keeps them on the side of his head.
That's why he can never be loved by a woman, because her eyes keep getting poked out by his radical sideburns.
I love his scarf because it floats above his head. But then again, that makes sense, because if it didn't float above his head, it would constantly be drenched in the spit whenever Ryoma yells.
Ryoma must care. I want to think that one of the modifications he must have made to Black Getter must have been a cup holder, because the amount of saliva he would put out would make him have to drink stuff constantly. Unfortunately, there are no gas stations where you can get a big gulp in the post-apocalypse.
I don't know, I think the tower is a gas station. It's just a gas station that's really tall, mobile, and has a lot of guns.
You know,
it's being owned by Hayato.
You know, there's this whole idea that Getter energy is a dangerous thing and we don't use it because it caused the apocalypse, but what do you think the tower runs on? Getter energy was this infinite renewable resource that basically did whatever the hell you needed
it came
to
from
do
space.
At the time. And it came from space, so if it doesn't run on Getter rays, does the tower just, like, run on gasoline? The world's already fucked anyway. This tower gets 1 foot to the 3 gallons.
No. Well, we've...
I wanted to get a six-cylinder, but I could only find a four-cylinder engine for this tower.
Yeah, talk about the blueprints of the tower. All the computer systems are Windows 3.1.
In the post-apocalypse, there will be no Windows 7.
No!
Fucked.
And, no, it doesn't run on gasoline. You don't see it, but at the bottom of the tower, there are a bunch of people turning a giant wheel to make electricity to make it move.
Because little is it known that Shin Getter Robo is the prequel to Conan the Barbarian.
Turn wheel. Turn wheel.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Do you have a wheel I can push? Oh, we haven't described anything, but I think that's actually the best way to talk about Getter Robo. There's a plot, but I just want to talk about awesome stuff that the robots do. But maybe we should describe the plot at least somewhat, now that we're 20 minutes or so in.
I don't know, we told people that there was a post-apocalypse.
Yeah, this is what happens. Years ago, Ryoma was arrested for the murder of Dr. Sautome. He didn't actually do it. It turns out that... Did Hayato do it?
I think.
Yeah, Hayato did it because he was going to destroy the world with Getter Rays, because he had been possessed by the Invaders, which are these amorphous black space alien goobler.
One of which is a young Dr. Hell. And I say young because he doesn't have white hair and instead he has brown.
Yeah, but he's still a blue-skinned weirdo who summons monsters out of a volcano. Except the volcano is the Shin Dragon. This is a sequel to the radio drama Moon Wars, where the Invaders attack the moon and eat it, and then they're attacking the Earth, so the Earth builds an army of super robots to go fight the aliens off. And it works, but some of them still made it to the Earth. One of the casualties was Michiru, Dr. Sadame's daughter. She was doing a test run with Ryoma and Hayato, and they forced the change into Getter 2, and it accidentally crushed her plane and killed her. You find out at the end of the series that she did that on purpose because she was being infected by the Invaders, and she wanted to die rather than live through the infection. So, Dr. Sadame wants to destroy the Earth, particularly Ryoma and Hayato, because they caused that. The death of Michiru, he clones her and makes her a boy in the form of Go, who
has the mystical power to yell people's names and make them do stuff.
It works on Ryoma. He also has a complex about saying the word getter. When they get Shin Getter Robo, and it's in the post-apocalypse, it's being piloted by this... they get the archetype sort of mixed up, because I think that there has to be the sort of cold, indifferent strategist person that he pilots Getter to, and the hot-blooded person who yells a whole lot pilots Getter 1, but Go pilots Getter 1, and he's sort of the cold, indifferent one, where K pilots Getter 2, and she's the hot-blooded one who yells a whole lot. Maybe that's why Getter 2 gets a lot more screen time when they're the pilots.
We just wanted to advertise every other Getter.
And yet they never go Getter 3, probably because I don't even know the name of the person who pilots Getter 3. In fact, he may not actually have...
I think it's like Guy. And then eventually Benkei does.
Well, yeah, because eventually new Getter team gets replaced with old Getter team, Ryoma, Hayato, and Benkei.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing if you happen to like the new pilots, and I totally do, because Kay is so awesome and totally hot, because she pilots Getter once naked, and she's got a gun, and it's totally sweet.
And I'm pretty sure she's only 15.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up that way, but if she was older, that would be all right. That was disturbing.
Don't let Frank Miller write her.
Oh, God. Getter Sin City.
No. Getter the Spirit.
The Dark Knight returns to Getter Robo. Okay. So, did we describe the story? Was that it? I wasn't sure if we were done.
I don't think we were done. I think we left off at,
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So, the new Getter team does not get completely displaced, because after Shin Getter Robo goes into space to fight the black space aliens at the Getter Sun that they make out of Jupiter, the new pilots get to pilot the Shin Dragon, which is basically just Getter Robo G, and it's totally awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best moment in it, this series' over-the-top, super-scaled-up moment is where they're at the Getter Sun, and they're in Getter 1 and in Shin Dragon mode, and the Shin Dragon gives all of its energy to Shin Getter Robo, and it forms the giant energy Getter Tomahawk and chops in half all of Jupiter's moons in one swing. And the alien that they were fighting, and that destroys the sun?
They essentially cut Jupiter in half.
Yeah. Did they do that? Did they just chop the moons in half and use stoner sunshine on Jupiter?
I don't know. I want to think they cut I'd like to think they cut Jupiter in half. I'm trying to remember what they did to the moon from Earth. Because they fight the moon.
I don't know. That was probably stoner sunshine. In fact, actually, I'm almost certain that it is. They try to use stoner sunshine on the surface, and it doesn't work. So they fly into the center of it, and then use stoner sunshine there. And that's totally sweet.
Yeah.
Getter Robo is a series that we could talk about just by saying, hey, you remember that time when that thing happened? Yeah, it was awesome.
And it was.
Yeah, it really was. The plot is actually pretty decent. Characters in Getter Robo are actually written decently well, but the action is so over the top and so sweet that I could just talk about things that they do. I really want to bring up when they fight inside the Shin Dragon, and old Getter team is piloting Shin Getter Robo, while Dr. Sadame and the two alien leader guys, who are always sort of present and are actually the final villains, are piloting Getter Robo G, and they're really strong. I don't know if Dr. Sadame had, like, boosted them up, or they're absorbing power from inside the Shin Dragon. They're actually beating the crap out of Shin Getter Robo, but there is a point where they switch, and Shin Getter 1, they have been switching throughout the fight, but Shin Getter 1 grabs Dr. Sadame's plane, and Ryoma goes, you can't change form without looking at the controls, Doctor. And Hayato goes, I guess that's something you learn how to do when you're part of a real team. And then they crush the thing.
That was awesome.
The only thing that this series lacks, honestly, is that the Black Space Aliens are not dinosaurs. So, as much as I really want us to be able to spout off dub in Ryoma going, fuck dinosaurs, as much as possible, we can't. There aren't any dinosaurs, except for, I think that Dr. Satome is, like, growing dinosaurs or something.
No, remember, Go has Shin Getter Fire Getter Beam, and everything that it hit went through evolution again, and it created dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, remember when they blew up Manhattan?
Sense. Which time? There's a lot of times where that happens.
That time where it becomes a giant crater.
Okay, are we talking about that from New Getter Robo when it was Musashi, or are we talking about when they go to Manhattan and Black Getter shows up and they figure out that it's Ryoma?
Black Getter.
They blew up Manhattan?
Remember?
We have a
giant smoldering crater. It was either Manhattan or the Pacific Ocean. I can't remember.
Does the Statue of Liberty actually turn out to be a bomb? I've forgotten.
No, I don't remember how it happened. I want to remember there being a giant crater, though.
Well, that wouldn't be too surprising. Oh, we should talk more about Black Getter. Let's talk about it when it first appears. Remember when it first
appears? In Antarctica?
Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah.
What happens is they're in Antarctica, and there's this small colony of...
Black people. Black-blue people? Bruised people?
No, there's one black guy, and he's the leader. Although he may be Inuit.
I don't know what he is. He's, like, black-blue.
He's blue? Are we thinking of different people?
No!
He's like... I've never noticed this blue face.
He's like black, but he also has a tint of blue in him.
Weird.
He's like a giant bruise.
He's the only person like that. Jen and Fred are both Japanese.
Yeah, that's because they're not... It's because they're not from there.
Well, yeah. I mean, I say they're Japanese, but that's because race is in this, unless you have a different skin tone or very unapparent. At one point, there's an American guy who is not piloting Texas Mac, who harasses Kay because the Japanese supposedly caused the Getter apocalypse. What actually happened, I think, doesn't the UN launch the nuke that hits the Shin Dragon that causes the Getter apocalypse? He blames the Japanese... Well, he blames Dr. Satome for building the Shin Dragon, which I don't think he... Did he do that? I don't think he did.
Wait, did what?
Build the Shin Dragon. Yeah. Okay. Well, he blames Satome for the apocalypse, and by extension, all Japanese people, and Kay doesn't take too well to it. But the thing about it is that because of the art style, their skin tone isn't any different, and there are no distinguishing facial constructions that make Kay look any less the same than random American guy who's not piloting Texas Mac.
Why is he piloting Texas Mac?
Because not everybody can pilot Texas Mac, unfortunately.
I know, my favorite thing about Texas Mac was how the support thing was also a hat.
My favorite thing about Texas Mac is when there's a UFO about to blow up a city. Well, it's going to blow up over a city and kill everyone in the city. And you would think, hey, this is a super robot show. They're probably just going to, like, fire a beam at it and it'll destroy the thing and won't blow up. But Texas Mac flies into the sky while riding his robot horse, lassos the UFO, and pulls it into space. At least I think he pulls it into space. He may just pull it away from the city, but I'd like to think that he pulls it into space.
And then kicks it into the sun.
Because why not?
That insult to injury. Not only do you have to blow up in space, you also have to blow up at the sun.
Yeah, seriously. There's... Texas Mac has a gun that it cannot fire at the ground because it will blow up everything off the ground.
Except for the bullet.
Yeah. God.
This so, way, I never run out of ammo.
But yeah, they're at the North Pole, and black space aliens attack, because that's just what happens. I always call them black space aliens, because when you break them down to their normal form, they are black goo filled with yellow eyeballs, though sometimes they will also be... They take on many forms.
Like puppies.
Usually just sort of generic monsters. There is a point where they turn into puppies. I'm not even kidding. So, they get attacked. Shin Getarobo has to go out. But the aliens have absorbed a bunch of humans and are able to show their faces through its pores. And that freaks Kay out. And she doesn't want to attack them. In its first form, it's only showing the people on the shoulders. So, while they're in Shin Getter 1 form, Go just uses the Getter Scythe to cut through it, and it gets turned into generic goo, but then it forms up with a building and turns into this giant mollusk thing, and the people's faces are shown throughout its entire body, so Kay can't bring herself to let Go attack them or attack it itself, and they end up starting to get really ripped to pieces because the thing is shooting through Shin Getarobo's body. And then Black Getter shows up and just starts beating the shit out of it.
See, what Ryoma didn't hear is when the people... What Ryoma, Kay, and all of them didn't hear is when the faces were like, "It's not actually that bad in here. Every Friday is Wacky Tie Day."
Well, one of them specifically does. The little girl who is...
A little girl.
Kay's friend has a brother who gets attacked, and he gets absorbed into the thing, and she's like, "No, don't kill my brother!" And Kay's like, "Okay, I won't kill your brother." Then Ryoma... But the brother actually says, "Please kill me because, well, you've been absorbed into a horrible alien monstrosity where you're made out of goo. It's probably torturous." Despite the fact that they serve free coffee on Tuesdays.
And every Friday is Wacky Tie Day.
Yeah, so it's bad, but it's not that bad.
Also, every Saturday there's a lottery where you can win a free sports car.
Every time I hear the word lottery, I always think of...
The short story?
No. Well, now that you mention it, yes, but I was thinking of The Island starring Ewan McGregor. That movie is so stupid. Anyway, so Ryoma shows up and starts beating the shit out of it completely mercilessly using Black Getter's spike knuckles and its personal Getter tomahawk. And Kay is freaked out because you don't find out that Ryoma is piloting Black Getter in the first episode it appears, although in the next episode you find out.
Who else was it? I mean,
who else could it have possibly been, really?
Remember how Benkei was like, "Who could it have been?"
Yeah, I know. He's looking at a picture of, I think, the old Getter team. It's like, well, I don't think it was Genki, because Genki grew up to be Kay, and Kay is piloting Getter 2.
And
probably wasn't Hayato, he was in the tower.
It wasn't me, I think.
I'm pretty sure I didn't do it. I don't think it was Musashi. I think he's dead.
I haven't seen Ryoma around, but he's probably going off being psychotic.
It must have been Dr. Saotome. Oh, okay, yeah, I get it now. So, but when Ryoma is tearing into this alien, he's going completely nuts with it. In fact, there are times where it almost seems like he's specifically trying to kill the people inside, which might actually be considered an act of mercy on Ryoma's part.
Wait, Ryoma being merciful?
Well, to other people, not to his enemies. There's a... But the last act of the worst two parts of it are when he's beating them, the people in their goo form are being splattered all over buildings, and there's a point where it splatters on the cockpit of Getter 2, the body part, since they're in Getter 1 form, and there's this face screaming at Kay, and she whimpers because it's so horrifying. But the second one is where Ryoma's actually holding a pink mass, which would be just a big ball of people, and crushes it in Black Getter's hand.
There's actually a point where you see a bit of the goo splatter on a wall, and you still see the faces in there, so you know they're still alive in there.
Yeah. It's not until... You cannot be certain that they are dead until Black Getter opens up its stomach and fires Getter Beam to just clear everything out. So, while it is totally horrifying, it's still super cool because Black Getter is just that cool. It's like if you were watching Batman just punching the shit out of a mobster. It's really brutal, but he's still Batman. So, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's a bad analogy, because while it is brutal, it is outweighed by how awesome it is. And if Batman was just beating the shit out of a guy, you'd start to wonder if maybe it was Crazy Steve, because it's overly brutal. I don't know. With Black Getter, it just works, because it's so awesome.
I like to put that fight with Black Getter and the giant mollusk thing in the form of animals. Black Getter is a bear, while the mollusk thing is a shrub.
So he's gonna claw at it to get the berries out, eat them, and then shit in the thing?
Yep.
Okay. Is there any other awesome
the
moment?
Bear, and the berries like... are the people.
Yeah, exactly. Ryoma eats people.
Now we know what he eats.
Exactly.
Maybe that's why... Maybe that's his secret to never having to blink. Eating people makes your eyes constantly watery.
I guess so. Maybe that's what the cup holder's for. Just hold a human head.
I really want to see Ryoma have the staring contest with Golgo 13 now. The staring contest to end all people. Because by the time it ends, everyone will be dead.
Ryoma is the only person with a stare comparable to that of Golgo 13. Alright. Let's stop. Unless, is there any other awesome moment you'd like to bring up before we close it out?
I don't know, did we really talk about the fight with the moon?
We didn't, but I don't remember that much about it, other than that they beat it by flying into the center and using Stoner Sunshine.
I think mentioning the fact that they have the fight with the moon. Huh, all you people think you're cool with your fights on the moon? Well, I'm fighting the moon!
Exactly. Pretty sweet. The only one, the only other super robot show I could think of that did that was Gurren Lagann. Sort of. They don't really fight the moon. They fight stuff around the moon, and then they turn the moon into a ship. But that's sort of different. Okay, let's go ahead and stop.
Okay.
How do we sync this one up? Oh wait, we're talking about Getter Robo. There's only one way to sync it up.
What?
Come on, you know.
There's like eight things.
Come on, we're gonna say fuck dinosaurs.
Fine.
All right, ready?
Okay.
On three. One, two, three. That's a commander, you may be that Ashida. Come on, to each of that to come on. Ashida, who name a good
Shitata, Hagishi, Abeto, Kazani, Utarete, Kondo, Gaboro, Yomisamasu, So, that was, Lelau, and I, Yamcha, Sugi.